Today's Tuesday, October 17th.
Now, this past weekend, we've seen Friday the 13th, and today, actually, as we're recording this, shortly should be the arrival of Planet X to destroy the Earth. Now, we're going to go ahead and record this anyway. We're going to soldier through it just to bring you the news.
Now, by the time we get through with the news, you may be wishing that Planet X did, in fact, show up. Much like the violinist on the Titanic, we're just going to soldier on. It's fine. Well, we got a lot of follow-ups for you this week, starting with the IRS. You know, the IRS had that Equifax contract, and the IRS was going to continue with that contract, but now they've suspended that contract after malware has been discovered on one of the domains that they were using for the program.
You got to think that there was a closed-door meeting somewhere, and I was like, listen, we're going to go through with this. You're going to get your contract like we promised, but for the love of God, don't let anything else happen.
They let something else happen.
Yeah. So it turns out now this is from an ad, or at least being delivered as an ad, but there is a malware delivery going on the Equifax site.
Yeah, it's probably been fixed by now, but a little embarrassing because they explicitly said in their press release, our websites were definitely not affected. And then they got their press releases domain names wrong, the domain names that were in the press release. I'm starting to think that maybe Equifax doesn't actually have any kind of technical team at the helm.
Well, this was clearly, they blame it again on downstream developers. It's like, this wasn't us, but it's like a tracking software type thing. They've got, you know, something going on there and somebody injected malware. Oh, no.
I think maybe the developers are just miserable and not really given the ability to do whatever it is that they need to do because management.
Yeah, it could be. This is a Flash vulnerability. It tries to upgrade you to a version of Flash that is malware. So
now these credit reporting agencies are all under a lot of scrutiny right now. Mm-hmm. And the same has turned out to be true for TransUnion, which is, you know, technically an Equifax competitor, but it's really just an oligopoly of these three credit reporting agencies. They've got some of their own problems. A lot of the links on their website and the directives to upgrade your Flash player, which Flash is dead. What are you doing? Actually redirect to malware.
I think it's the exact same thing. So they were probably using the same company for tracking purposes, you know, something being injected. Again, it's not necessarily TransUnion doing it. It's just someone they hired and didn't vet. And, you know, it's not an excuse for them, but
turns out having 700 sets of tracking scripts and, you know, dynamically injected JavaScript on your website is an attack vector for bad guys. They don't necessarily have to compromise your systems, just the bucket that contains your JavaScript.
And now I said ad for these sites. They obviously don't run ads. They are in themselves ads, but they do use all this tracking software. So when you go there, you know, you still need your ad blocker protection or whatever, because they're running these tracking scripts, and that's what's getting you here.
Man, why do you think everybody's using ad blockers these days? I don't get it. I don't understand. Why does this keep happening? Switching gears a little bit, Google's new devices. Google, we've got actually quite a few stories about Google this time around, but we've got a follow-up. So the Pixel 2 is out. It also eschews the headphone jack. And people were like, well, you know, it's not the first phone to do that. You know, there's not really anything to be outraged about. And then Google said, wait, we're going to give you an adapter so that you can use standard analog headphones with this. But it costs $11 more than Apple's adapter. And then so everybody was outraged because Apple obviously sets the high watermark on price.
And it turns out that if you go back and look at the marketing for when Apple did this, Google was like, hey, we give you a headphone jack. Look at us, you know. So they've also gone with the whole like Google ecosystem. You get your Pixel tablet, you get your Pixel phone, you got your Chrome operating system, and it all works together. It just works, man. It just works.
Unlimited botnet cloud storage.
So they are really, really following the Apple trajectory here, including overpricing things. Now they have relented and they've dropped the price to match Apple's dongle.
I think it's slightly cheaper now.
Oh, well.
$2 cheaper.
You're doing one better. They're still making money on it. You know?
Yeah, it depends on where you are on planet Earth, too, because I think some of the foreign markets maybe did not fare quite as lucky. So
now you do get one. I think when we talked about this last week, we said that Apple doesn't give you one. It turns out they do. I don't think you always got one, but you do now. So exact same experience from Google and Apple, which how terrifying is that?
That might be our lamest correction yet. Swift. Swift is the bank messaging system. Swift is still being targeted by hackers. It's not directly on the internet, but gosh darn it, it's insecure.
Not long ago, a lot of money was stolen because people hacked Swift. A lot of money. I think, wasn't North Korea blamed for that?
Yeah.
And so we covered that story, and they beefed it up, and they're like, we're going to increase security. But what they're saying is, yeah, we increased security, but the attacks have not stopped. You know, they haven't gotten through, but we're being hammered every day by people trying to steal money directly from the hose, as it were.
Now, I really tried to figure it out. Is it if these attacks were nation state based or just some very wealthy hackers that got in early on Bitcoin?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they figured that out either. They can't blame anybody, but they certainly see the attacks happening.
Also on a follow-up, Qualcomm is seeking bans of the iPhone in China. So they're expanding their legal conflict with Apple because Qualcomm feels like a lot of their technology has been appropriated by Apple. Certainly wouldn't be the first time Apple appropriated something and then invented it. But, it's really interesting to watch this unfold. It's really interesting to see how the foreign markets are reacting to, chip vendors and, basically corporate juggernauts slugging it out.
Of course, Apple makes pretty much everything in China. If you were to shut them down in China, that would be huge. And a lot of the people who, talk about these things are like, there's no way Apple would do anything to stop being shut down in China. They would immediately come to the negotiating table. But what's really being said here is, it's a weird thing with Qualcomm. I think we've talked about this before. They have, I think it's something to do with the touchscreen, some of the modems. They make all these parts, and they've got the sort of deal they want with Apple. I think Apple paid for a while, didn't they?
Yeah.
But the deal is, hey, if you use a Qualcomm modem, you pay us. If you use an Intel modem instead of a Qualcomm modem, you pay us. So, I don't want to root for Apple ever, but that's a weird deal.
I think the thing that sent Qualcomm over the edge was that in Apple independent device testing, they actually found that the Qualcomm radios were better, or at least allegedly this is what is going on. And because the competing radios, because Apple doesn't want to source anything from two different sources, the competing radios weren't as good. They basically tuned the software parameters of the software radio from Qualcomm to be roughly equal to that of their competitor, because they didn't want a situation where it's like, oh crap, I got the Qualcomm iPhone. I'm in really good shape, or I got the competing radio iPhone. I'm going to return it and hope that I get a Qualcomm iPhone, because that has happened in the past with iPhones that have different components.
So what Qualcomm is saying, no more in China, at least nothing built for iPhone by Apple, which would destroy them.
Now, if you've been following us for a while, you know that the Morgan Stanleys and JP Morgans of the world have historically crapped all over Bitcoin. Not just the bankers, the day traders. I mean, everybody. So of course, it was sort of intense the last couple of weeks. Well, now Wall Street is going nuts over cryptocurrencies.
Now, I always check the Bitcoin price before we do this. I think it was 5,400 this morning. So it
peaked close to 6,000 the last few days.
It's fallen back a little bit. You expect that after any big run because people take profit, So I don't think that's indicative of another fall. But yeah, I think we actually talked about last week, Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, well, maybe this Bitcoin thing, maybe we'll get into it. JP Morgan, the spokesperson was like, well, we're observing it, we're looking at it, whatever. But Jamie Dimon doubled down and called it stupid again. Now, what's driving this, of course, is the hundreds of thousands of phone calls they're getting every day from their investors. It's like, hey, Bitcoin's going crazy. How can I get in on this? And so you have to keep your investors happy somehow. So they're looking into how they can get in on it. I think a crypto ETF just launched.
Wow.
Which, that would give them a way to invest in it without actually owning cryptocurrency, just in case that's illegal someday.
Right now, there is a task force, a joint task force of all these competing Wall Street companies that is drafting a spec on the Morgan coin or...
Oh, they've made no secret about that. They all want a government-regulated cryptocurrency, which, of course, instead of being the...
But they're writing the rules, the government.
Yeah. Instead of being the decentralized thing that Bitcoin is, which is what attracts people to it, it will be totally run by the banks and, you know, in turn the government, which you can kind of, the two are kind of interchangeable. So
audit the Fed. Oh, wait, no, that's a story for another time.
Maybe we should start the audit coin.
The audit coin.
But Ron Paul would sponsor that.
Transparency in government. It's like, why is this so hard to ask for? Why is this such a tall order? I just want to look under the hood. I just want to see what's going on.
Because they know what's under that hood.
Oh, remember the dangerous sound in Cuba? How dangerous sound? That sounds like a video game, like an indie video game. They've actually got a recording of this that is probably safe to play. That's what the text says. It's fine. Sounds like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, it's really unpleasant sound. I don't know. I don't think they're saying exactly where this came from, how they recorded it, but they claim this is the Cuban embassy noise. Now, some of the people who heard it say that's not what they heard. Which is weird, but they're all a little different.
At least one doctor also said that this was some form of mass hysteria, but that still doesn't explain the people with clinical symptoms.
That, and also, I thought, like, weren't some of the people, like, they didn't know about it at first, right? Or maybe they were talking amongst themselves. That is true that in an expat community, you mostly hang out with, like, that 100 people because you don't...
The people with PTSD.
Or no, the people from the country that you're from, you know, you don't really go out into the community much, so... I can see how that would be a hotbed for hysteria.
It's interesting. It is a little bit of a developing story. We will stay tuned, but Cuban authorities have also doubled down on the, we have no idea what's going on. We promise it's not an air conditioner bearing that has gone out. We don't know. We don't know what it is. So
I think they would like to say it was that rather than, you know, the murder sound device. But
this air conditioner has gotten so wrong, it is giving people brain damage.
Maybe go give it a listen just so that you know. It's like if you ever hear that noise outside somewhere, you're like, oh shit, it's the sonic attack.
Probably bad. What about follow up on the whole dream host thing? So we reported a couple of weeks ago that the anti-Trump website that was hosted on DreamHost. Well, it was gonna disrupt the inauguration, I think, but it was just a website that's like, hey, you know, wouldn't it be fun if we showed up to do a protest? And so
I think it went a little further than that.
Yeah, some people were.
There's a backstory. Here's what we're gonna do: sign up to punch a fascist or whatever.
Well, U.S. judge, we've reported on this like every week for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it just keeps getting weirder. The most recent development is basically to just say that, hey, the government is not allowed to trawl through the logs at all anymore, and all personally identifiable information, including whatever is responsive to whatever is being searched for specifically, should be redacted. And then the specific records that have been redacted have to be re-requested through a second procedure in order to get the personally identifiable information, if DreamHost has it, from the people that did stuff on the website. So this is a little bit more narrow in scope than the previous ruling.
And this all has to go through the judge each time, which that judge just made himself a mountain of paperwork. I don't know what he was thinking, but it's a win. I guess you would say this is a win, because before this, the worry was like they're really asking for every IP. If you were just like, what is Disrupt J20? Let me go look at the website. Then your name would be in that report, but that's not the case anymore. Unless they get the list and they see your redacted info and they're like, yes, this person, we suspect this person.
Then here's the evidence.
Right.
That, yeah.
And then they have to resubmit and go through it like two more times, and then they can get your stuff.
Also, the Equifax numbers, like how many people were affected by the Equifax hack? They just keep revising that number upwards. Yeah. In addition to 700,000 Europeans, which I think is what the number has been moved up to, 10 million U.S. driver's licenses were also compromised as part of the data breach.
If you had your identity stolen prior to this, not because of this, then one of the ways that you deal with that is to send in your driver's license. Like, hey, no, seriously, this is me. I have this driver's license. If you did that, then someone now has a photo of your driver's license.
Woo! I don't even, like, why do we even bother?
By the way, they will be taking care of all the IRS identity protection pretty soon.
Well, wait, wasn't that contract canceled?
No, postponed.
Postponed.
Yeah, until they can clear up their malware problem.
Is public outrage good for nothing anymore? I mean, come on.
And news stories.
This is weapons grade incompetence. I mean, it's really just Speaking of weapons-grade incompetence, let's take a look at the FCC. The FCC claims that one ISP counts as competition, but that claim is going to face scrutiny in court.
And we talked about this, and it really is like, you can't explain it because it's so illogical. They really did say, like, if there's one ISP, somehow the threat of competition equates competition. I mean, that's such a – the mental gymnastics – I can't explain it to you because there is no explaining it. And because it's so ridiculous, a lot of companies have come out and said, no, no, you can't do this. And so it's going to have to be settled in court.
The other aspect of this that is not really reported on heavily is that the competition thing here is also to remove price caps. So the FCC set some prices by statute, like this is going to cost this much and this will cost that much. Originally, that was created to prevent cable company operators from gouging customers because the signal that was on the cable TV wire was the same as what you could pull from the air. It's just that geographically, not everybody was able to pull TV signal from air, and thus was born the cable industry. And so some of these things are set by the FCC, or at least there are guidelines.
We should also mention this is for business customers. We talked about this last week, but you know, for a business customer, it's much less likely to have competition in an area because there's not as many business providers as there are residential providers. And so, yeah, a lot of business customers were getting royally screwed on prices.
Yes.
And so there was some Wheeler created some things that was like, no, we're going to cap these prices because it's insane. And Pi has undone that with this.
It's kind of a mess. Amazon is working on some new stuff in terms of delivery. So I don't really, like, it's just Amazon. Amazon is like, we wanted to make it as easy as possible for people to buy stuff.
Well, we talked about Walmart coming into your home. And there was a lot of good jokes in that one because it's terrifying and insane. Well, Amazon's going to take it one further and they're going to be in your home and in the trunk of your car. There's this company called Frame, Phrame, and they create a license plate cover that has a key in it, and which you can unlock via your phone or timed whatever, like one-time codes
or hammer
and yeah, pry bar, and the door, the front door that has the same kind of thing. Now, there was another company that Walmart was, I think, partnering with.
Yeah,
but yeah, Amazon wants to deliver, and they talk about the porch pirates. That's such a great name, porch pirates. But that's a huge problem in the U.S. I'm sure worldwide, where people just snatch packages off your porch that have been left there.
Now, it does raise an interesting point. I was forced to think about this when I read it, and it is, you know, while I'm thinking of the people of Walmart.com inside of my house, and no amount of me describing me reeling in horror will really convey the feelings that I was feeling. I'm thinking about, like, the garage and the trunk of the car, and it's like, you know, that might not be terrible.
Yeah, the problem with the trunk of the car is there's no great way. In most passenger cars, you can get right into the car easily enough. Now, if you had like a truck with a bed liner, that might be great because you know there's nothing of value in there. Pop it open, throw your package in there.
Could work. Something like that could actually work. That would be, well, think about like your car moving around. Maybe you're going to get a delivery at work and they'll just go to your car in the parking lot because they got a GPS tag.
I think the Frame thing does that. So now, what about this? What if you just got a beater car on your property and that's your delivery car?
Why wouldn't you just get a locker and just put it out by the door, and then it's like, okay, I get a lot of Amazon deliveries. It's like, here's my little shed.
Maybe because people might know to rob the locker, but like the rusted out, you know, 92 Corolla.
I've got a next $1 million business idea. It's going to be fake porta potties, kind of like fake doors, except fake porta potties.
But then somebody shits on your package.
No, it's got a lock. See, it's got the locking mechanism. So they get the key from the Frame, but you know, everybody else is like, this is a porta potty. And if somebody actually does try to use the porta potty, they can't open it.
What about the class action suit when a delivery guy breaks into a young girl actually using a porta potty? I don't think we could recover from that in a PR sense.
That is still a really good idea from a business perspective, because we could get a settlement from Amazon if that happened.
Your delivery guys didn't do their due diligence. You have to knock on the fake porta potty before you go in.
It wasn't fake. It turns out it wasn't fake. There were some people doing some yard work at my house, and it was going to take a long time because they had to dig up the yard. And I don't know. Speaking of raw sewage, Windows 10, Dutch privacy regulator says that Windows 10 breaks the law because it's using all kinds of personal information and personal data in ways that are contrary to Dutch law.
Now, we all know about the Windows. We've covered that.
Who hasn't heard of Windows 10 telemetry? Come on.
I mean, we've really gone over that ad nauseum. What the Dutch are saying is, well, first of all, when the Creators Update came out, you reset the preferences. That's not legal.
That happens every time. Yeah. Literally every time. Like, they're just not even trying.
And also, it does sort of spell out, like, if you do the some spying option, they kind of tell you what's going on. But when you do the full option, they don't tell you what's happening. And under Dutch law, you must be fully you have to know what's going on before you can consent to it. So,
speaking of things that have gone horribly wrong in terms of security, secret files on jets and Navy ships have been stolen in an extensive and extreme hack. This is sort of a mess. This is U.S. technology, but it was headed for Australia.
Yeah, we saw the F-35s, the plane that cost how many billions of dollars? It was an insane amount of money. The R&D on these things. And so we've begun selling them to our allies. Australia got their first jets and immediately lost some important data related to them. Now, they claim that it is just commercial data in terms of like what they cost and what the upkeep is and stuff like that, and not technical data. But it was secret, I believe.
Yeah.
So
it was classified information. Not good.
This is another one of those like, it wasn't us, it was the contractor. Yeah.
Those damn contractors always making trouble. Russia has also turned cold on cryptocurrency. So we last couple of weeks, China has been basically not really shutting down cryptocurrencies, just shutting down the ability to convert it into local currency. Well, Russia's sort of gone a step farther.
Yeah, this is another instance of where they're like, we don't want anybody trading cryptocurrency. We're going to shut down the exchanges, that type of thing. And then it's the same old adage of, terrorists use it, criminals use it, drug dealers use it. It must be bad. We must destroy it.
Kind of like cash, the war on cash.
Yeah. Now, we did not include a story, but I just saw a headline. I can't give you a lot of information about it, but Russia has just today announced, what are they calling it? Something ruble, I think, the bit ruble. I don't know. Some cryptocurrency the Russian government is sponsoring. So, well, that timing isn't weird, is it?
That's not insanely parallel to what Wall Street is working on at all. It's like, the pot and the kettle are calling each other black again. I don't understand how that could possibly be a thing.
But, hey, we know that it didn't hurt the price very much, did it?
Now, we've got a major breaking story from the Wall Street Journal. And that is Russia, definitely, for sure, without a doubt, has turned Kaspersky software into a tool for spying.
Now, this is a paywall article, but you can read the first paragraph of it, and you will see that nowhere in this does it say accusation, allegedly. Now, this is, they did it. Every statement is Russia did this. But what evidence is there?
There's less equivocation here from like OJ's book. It's kind of scary.
What if Russia did it? Well, it turns out that, not everybody agrees that Russia did it.
So the German intelligence apparatus has come out and said, we've been looking at this and we're not really seeing the evidence here. We're going to be on standby for short notice in case we get something credible here, but by and large, we're not seeing it. We don't really know what's going on. Have you got a different copy of Kaspersky than we do? What's happening here?
Now, the smoking gun supposedly is an Israeli government report that they witnessed how Russia was using Kaspersky in real time and like observed it. But I don't think there's any other collaborating evidence. It's just Israel said it. New York Times picked it up and ran it. And of course, they are the paper of record. Let's not forget. And so for the most part, the media is just running with it, but not Yahoo Finance.
So Yahoo Finance maybe has a different contrary. You think Yahoo, like, is Marissa Meyer? She's retired for sure.
She's gone. Yeah.
The Russians have taken over Yahoo. That means the Russians have taken over Verizon. That means they're monitoring our mobile communications. Wait, what?
They can, look for facts in the story. They cannot design a web page. Look at that headline. That's the edge of the browser right there. The W is just gone. But anyway, this is an article about we don't believe you. I'm sorry. Yahoo Finance doesn't see. And of course, the German government also, a lot of people questioning this story that said straight up they did it. So I don't know.
Now, over the last couple of weeks, I've done a little bit of research on, like, what is a mechanism that they could do this where both sides would be correct. And I did find a report from a few years ago, well, more than a few years ago, almost 10 years ago, about Windows Update. And so Windows Update didn't previously sign its updates, and SSL encryption wasn't used. So did the Russians figure out a way to co-opt, like, Kaspersky Update? So, like, when Kaspersky would download an update, they're actually downloading a Russian Trojan?
I think what they're citing here is that that search. I remember we did a story about that. The
document search, yeah.
So, and that, as was noted in that story, isn't something that Kaspersky, like, you know, they didn't have any control over themselves. It was sort of just like, yeah, we can do this, but we didn't mean to give the government the access to it. It was a problem that we fixed. So they've kind of owned up to the fact that it happened, but not that they gave anybody any access to it.
Not that it was deliberate. Kind of right. Like, not the Windows Update situation was deliberate. It's just that the mechanism for updates was not really very secure in the first place.
But to go from that to, we for sure know that they were in with the Russian government, is quite a leap.
You think substandard technology being co-opted for a political, to turn it into a political story, you think that would ever happen?
Well, I mean, so compare that to what the NSA has done by accidentally, you know, hoarding the exploits and then losing them.
Oops.
Which is worse.
Well, Office Depot and Best Buy aren't taking any chances. They've pulled the products from store shelves. So
you won't get your money back, but they will give you a competing antivirus and remove it from your machine for you.
How can you really be sure it's removed without formatting?
Yeah. I mean, if it's, you know, if it's the Russian government, you got to think they've got something more insidious there than just uninstall is going to get rid of.
Now, our next story, we've really struggled with knowing whether it should be a follow-up story or its own standalone story. And it's kind of a non-story, but it's also kind of funny, so we point and laugh.
Here's our, or at least my, assumption about it. And this is an assumption. We covered the union issues that Tesla was having. Tesla does not want unions, kind of like Walmart. Like, no, you will not unionize. And maybe some people were still passing out leaflets and that kind of thing.
Well, Tesla has fired hundreds after a company-wide performance reviews. Now, to be sure, Tesla is super tight-lipped about the whole union thing. And they say, no, this is just standard performance reviews. We let go the people that weren't doing too well, even at a time when we are hiring unprecedented numbers of engineers and other people. These people were just underperformers. We're letting them go. And we've also rewarded people that have done a really good job. And I think Tesla, the quote from him was something on the order of, like, I think that most people in the company would disagree with you because we've rewarded the top performers and we've let the people go that were not performing well.
Now, also, an important thing to keep in mind here is the Model 3. They can't make them fast enough. They're way behind on Model 3. So to cut 700 people when you are desperately trying to meet these Model 3 production set, the timeline, that's something going on there. Now, it's an interesting thing. So the I guess the Bureau of Labor, or how, I don't know the what government thing it is, but it's like you must report layoffs within 30 days and give reason. But if you're just firing people, which is what they did here, you don't have to say anything. It's just, we fired people because they sucked. And that's basically what Musk is saying.
That's definitely the story that they're sticking to. You know, it's hard for me to imagine that many people in that organization that would rise to the level of really a firing in a performance review. Because, I mean, let's face it. I'm sure that we've all worked on teams where that you're working with the guy that actually is a negative contribution to productivity, meaning that everybody would actually get more done if they literally just did nothing and left you alone.
Yeah.
And that's what Tesla is saying about 700 people. It's kind of far-fetched.
And how do you identify that person via performance review? Very difficult to do. So, yeah, interesting. I would say he says it's good for morale. I would say it's more like...
He said the rewards were good for morale.
Struck fear into the hearts of everybody at Tesla. I'd say that's probably what it did.
Yeah, if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area and you don't have a job and you've got that $1 million shoebox, it's going to be a little rough. I don't know where this was. I'm assuming it was in somewhere where it's a $1 million shoebox housing country. It may not have been.
Those mortgage payments, Well, anywhere in California. Where is Tesla in San Francisco or San Diego?
I saw a Tesla plant when I flew out to San Diego for a thing. So
yeah, so
or Tesla building. I don't know. It might. I don't know what it was.
Bad times. Bad times for the Tesla people.
Oh, there's a new iOS update. Why are we reporting on Apple iOS updates? Well, this one can break your phone. Did you get an unauthorized repair? Oh, it'd be a shame if something happened to your phone that was previously working fine.
Now, this, of course, we've covered this before. Apple does not want anybody repairing iPhones except for quote unquote qualified repair people. That means people who are paying the VIG to Apple to for that. You know, that title actually it means something. It means you're paying Apple for the, and you get official parts. Now, if somebody does it with a, you know, a cheap Chinese part, they may have turned some phones off.
You say that like some displays off. The cheap Chinese part and the Apple original part came from a different factory.
Yeah, really. I mean, they scraped the little Apple off of it and threw it in a different bin. But this update specifically warns. It's like, okay, we might have bricked some people's phones. Here, this update fixes it. But be warned, don't use aftermarket parts.
This is terrible. Terrible situation. Terrible. Bad. Bad Apple. Shame on you, Apple.
You know, How soon, because Google's doing everything that Apple's doing, how long is it going to be before they do this?
With the new bootloader on Android, they're already headed in this direction. The new bootloader on Android prevents you from downgrading because they don't want you to use a previous exploit to root your phone without permission. So Google is already headed in the direction of Apple. Actually, we've got another story about that later, which is sort of interesting.
It's dark times.
It really is. Samsung Electronics CEO has resigned over unprecedented crisis. This is really crazy. Yeah. Like, I read this and it's like, wait, isn't Samsung doing better than they ever have financially? And yes, they are. Yeah. But this guy, I mean, you know, for like, you have to understand a little bit about like Samsung and the culture there. And so, like, this guy's resignation letter is as close to scathing as we will ever get out of that corner of the world.
Yeah. So this is Samsung Electronics. Samsung has 60 different arms in Korea. They do everything, you know, cars, consumer home appliances, stuff like that. And so this is just the electronics part of it, but that's one of the biggest ones. And this is where the guy, the overall CEO, is in prison now for bribing the president. So
was that wrong? Should we not have done that?
You can tell that Samsung is deeply ingrained in the Korean lifestyle. And so this is, again, like you say, one of the best quarters they've had in a long time. The price of chips is up, the things they provide, and they're doing really well. And this guy's like, I'm out. He says there's an unprecedented crisis. He didn't go into a lot of detail, but you get the impression it's like, hey, the corruption is still there, and I don't want to be here when that hammer comes down.
He did say that there were communication problems and that the company was not functioning as one unit, that everybody was sort of going in their own direction, yeah. And there was a lot of confusion.
I think they have like a three-way leader system, so he's just one of the three. And you get the impression that he's not a big fan of the other two.
If you participate on Twitter a lot, you know that there are Twitter bots everywhere. Like, I'm not really a super Twitter person, but oh my God, the Twitter bots are real.
Did you just say that you're not a super Twitter person?
I'm not a super Twitter person.
How many tweets a day?
I don't know, like 50?
I don't know. I don't know is the answer that tells you that you are a super Twitter person.
Well, Twitter has got a massive bot problem, let me tell you, because I'm just talking to bots all day long.
Now, of course, it didn't take long for someone to go to the "It's Russian bots." Oh, it's the Russians.
Pretty sure the bots that are there might be some Russian bots. There's a lot of porn bots.
What did you think the opposite of spinning in your grave is? Like, what's it when you're happy from your grave?
Just resting peacefully?
Because whatever's going on there, McCarthy is doing it right now. Because this is neo-McCarthyism for sure. But so the thing about this article is pointing out is like, yeah, Twitter has a lot of bots. But they don't seem to really care that they have a lot of bots. Because, of course, when you have bots who are out there and they're being active and they're tweeting and they're driving up those numbers, you can report that at your quarterlies. And you're like, look how many active users we have. So many active users.
We're totally worth money, I promise. This is totally not a completely worthless thing that we did. We just need some kind of a metric that measures our value to reassure ourselves that we're actually worth something. And it happens to be that, you know, bots. Bots are totally fine.
Now, this is in the wake of, you know, they're uncovering those Facebook ads And also Twitter have found Facebook Russian, or not Facebook, but Russian bots. And it turns out, you know, a lot of people said that the Russians wanted Trump to win the election. And that's sort of what the Democrats were pounding the table. It turns out that the bots, the Facebook ads and the Russian bots, they weren't trying to make Trump win the election. They were on both sides. They just wanted to rile people up and get them fighting each other.
It was all about sowing outrage, looks like to us.
I mean, you look at the world around you. I don't know if it was the bots that did it, but somewhere somebody succeeded in doing that.
What do you think the ratio is of like how many bots are worth a real person? Is it like 10 to 1 or is it like 1,000 to 1?
It's like the Jim Crow laws.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that mean if you kill 10 bots,
yeah,
you
I mean,
be hanged for it?
Is that, you know, what this is the world that we're heading into. I mean, what if, you know, it's like I've got my own bots to do things for me that are kind of I don't want to spend my time doing minutia, so I write software to help me do some of the minutia. And it's like, that's kind of me, but also kind of a bot. Does that count as more of a bot or less of a bot than?
Well, and one of the things that article points out is Twitter has a really robust API. They don't discourage you from having bots. They make it really pretty easy. One thing one person suggested is we should have like the check mark, but, you know, for the bot. So, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, you have your bots, but we're going to designate them as such.
Interesting. It's an interesting situation.
It would be easy to have any API-driven tweet flagged as such. It's like a human did not create this tweet.
Well, I think Twitter actually encourages the, you know, like the large brand bot echo chamber where, like, you know, Disney or somebody will post a tweet and then Disney's army of 600,000 Twitter bots is like, yeah, let's retweet and upvote this. Woo. And the algorithm definitely does not take that into account because it's like, oh, this is trending now. It's like, really, Twitter? Is it really trending? I mean, come on.
And it would be so easy to identify all these. It's like, this was an API call. Don't assume this was a human. But like you say, they probably do not want to do that.
Oh, Disney and Hollywood. Why did I bring up Disney? It's like speak of the devil, and then there they are. Hollywood Studios and Disney are trying this Movies Anywhere service. They want people to be able to watch Disney movies anywhere, which sort of means pre-caching them on your device. But then you've got the whole complicated crypto square dance token exchange thing, and it's got to keep track of you. And how do you prevent, you know, your neighbor's kids from watching your iPad because Disney wants more money for that?
Yeah, this is, to boil it down, it's a cloud movie library, right? So the problem is DVDs are dead. We don't care about DVDs, but Disney doesn't want you watching their stuff on Netflix, obviously, because they've pulled it. So how do you purchase a movie digitally, but watch it on one of your 20 devices, right? How do you do that?
Obviously, DRM and co-opting the W3C is the way to go.
Yeah. Well, this is a standalone software though, I think. So this takes it a step further. So it's going to be an app that you install on your TV, on your phone, on your computer, and you buy the movie once. And it lives on the cloud, and then you can watch it whenever from any of these devices.
And this is your reminder, too, that amazingly, on a desktop computer, the way to do this securely is to actually do the decryption on the processor. And that mechanism is already there. Like, we don't have to build any new technology. This doesn't happen on next-generation computers. The codec to do the secure decryption in a way that you can't debug with debugging tools or programmers' tools and things like that, that hardware is already on your machine if you bought a machine in the last year or so.
There was another service that offered this, but they are probably about to die. I don't know if they're publicly traded, but if they are, you should short them because a lot of the big companies are getting on board with Disney for this thing. So you can get Warner Brothers, Disney, a couple of other the big names.
What happened basically is Disney went to all of the movie houses and was like, look, do you want Netflix to be in charge or do you want, you know, old money and the old establishment to be in charge? You know, it's like, I know we're like always at each other's throats and we hate each other, but it's us versus Netflix and Netflix is winning by a large margin. So we've got to do this.
Now, you got to wonder because Disney's also doing the streaming service, right? To the direct Netflix challenger. This is not that same thing. In this case, you're buying per movie. You know, you buy, it's not like I'm going to pay you a monthly fee and watch whatever I want. You're going to purchase individual movies. Now, they've also got that other thing coming. You wonder if the same movie studios that are on board with this are going to be like, hey, look how successful this is. Why don't you jump over to the Disney streaming service and let's just shut Netflix out completely?
And I think what's really going to be fun is in a year or two when like the next version of Android comes out and Disney doesn't update their app, and then you're like, hey, how do I transfer my movies from this device to this other device? And Disney just looks at you and shrugs their shoulders. So I guess you got to buy it again.
That didn't succeed. Sorry. Here's a voucher for Disney World.
For $5 off your next visit to Disney World.
$5 off your next $10 soda.
But I had over 300 movies in my library. We could probably give you two vouchers.
Yeah. That's important to note. You don't own these. You know, this is if you read the terms of service, I've not actually read it, but I'm positive. If you read the terms of service,
it's licensed.
You do not own these films.
You know who else is upset about the death of traditional media? Comcast. Comcast is telling local TV people, hey, you're going to have to get rid of the low cost options because we really need to bundle sports programming. I didn't understand that aspect of it.
Well, okay. So I understand why you wouldn't understand this, because you don't care about sports, and neither do I, but I understand what's going on here. It is so when people want live television, why would you care, right?
That's what the internet's for.
Why would you not want to watch, what's a popular sitcom that's on right now? Rick and Morty. What would be the difference of watching Rick and Morty 30 minutes later? Not a goddamn thing, right? But sports, football. If you got a bet on football, you can't watch the game an hour later. You have to see it now. And that's always been the thing that companies like Comcast got you on. It's like, okay, you can have the crappy tier cable package, but there's no sports. There's no ESPN. Well, turns out the millennials don't really care about sports very much. And so they're losing that leverage.
Wow. So could it not just be the symptom of a dying industry and just call a spade a spade?
Sure could. So what a lot of competitors to Comcast are doing, and they're like, hey, you don't care about sports? Excellent. We got this rock bottom package just for you. It's just, you know, real basic channels. And Comcast is like, no, that won't do. If you have, it's like a certain percentage of your subscribers, some crazy thing, and they're like, you must include ESPN. ESPN's the elephant in the room here, who, by the way, are rapidly losing viewers.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I mean, pay TV companies are in crisis mode because subscribers are bailing left and right, and they can't. There's just no one cares. Like, it's a snowball effect. You have less subscribers, therefore the ads have less reach, therefore the ads are worth less. And, you know, if you're used to the margins that you've been getting, you're going to have to raise rates to make up for the margins, which only accelerates the exodus of people from your platform. And pretty soon you don't have enough money for operations.
The problem, of course, is that the media companies are also the access to the media companies. And instead of just dying, they have the means to shut everybody out. It's like, hey, you will pay, or we're going to turn off. You know, we're going to turn it off at the source. You can't get it. And so
I like this report because it cites Netflix. It was like, okay, yeah, Netflix. And then it said also Snapchat is a problem because people can get their content from Snapchat. And it's like, one of these things is not like the other.
It's still entertainment, right? I mean, look at YouTube. You can, if you just want to watch something interesting, you can just watch YouTube 24 hours a day and never run out of content.
I'm really surprised that Brawny or somebody hasn't sponsored Kitten Academy.
I think they're real careful about like not taking sponsorships and stuff, but they do have some products that they recommend. It's like, hey, listen, when you've got 20 kittens in your house, it turns out you need this kind of litter. And I can't remember what Nature's Miracle, I think. They're like, we buy this stuff by the 50-gallon drum because it takes out cat pee, and it actually works. So,
as opposed to literally everything else that's advertised. Right. So it's a little bit of advertorial, I guess. I mean, that's tolerable, right? So, yeah, cable industry dying. For God's sakes, though, don't tell these executives about Jiffy. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, how are we going to produce meaningful content that people will want to watch in, you know, 7-second GIF animations?
Have you Google's got that that camera, it did 7-second. You can't call them films because there's no audio. But have you seen some of, I wish we should have gotten some examples, but when big corporations or schools sometimes attempt to use like the meme format, it's just so sad. It's like, wow, how could you get that so wrong?
Yeah, I did some training on how to use a Git front end last week, and I didn't go over it, but there's a meme generator that's built into the Markdown editor, and that is immediately what hundreds of people in the training went to. Like, I was looking at the activity log, and it's like, let's check and see if people are doing it. It's like, nope, just hundreds of memes. It's like, you know, brace yourselves, the code commits are coming, and just lots of just terrible stuff. It was bad. It was real bad.
Hey, memes have power, as we've learned.
Morgan Stanley. This is kind of related to the botnet thing, but it also has bleed over into the whole
adpocalypse
and also the traditional media is dying. So Morgan Stanley, I mean, that's basically a household name at this point.
You know what we forgot to mention? Morgan Stanley reminded me. Let's just take a quick call back to the Bitcoin story. Bitcoin's market cap bigger than Morgan Stanley. Bigger than Netflix. And bigger than PayPal.
At least when it's over like 5,700, that's true.
Oh, yeah, it might be less now. Morgan Stanley might have barely pulled back ahead, but I don't think it'll last.
Well, it's certainly not going to last when they're wasting money on fake YouTube views. I mean, if you're a Morgan Stanley shareholder and you're looking at this, this is just nuts. And the crazy thing about this, though, is like this article assumes that the way that you get YouTube ad views is a botnet, and that certainly can be true. But a few years ago, I was talking to somebody from Samsung USA, and it's a long story. But long story short, you can actually just pay Google, and they'll do that. And what they do is they basically run your video as a pre-roll ad on another video, and nobody ever interacts with those. But it still counts as a view, even if somebody only, you know, it's like the skip 15 seconds or skip 30 seconds. So if you've got, you know, like a 5-minute video, Google will happily serve that as a pre-roll ad, somebody else's video. And that's probably what happened here. It probably wasn't a botnet. I think the article probably got that wrong. But Google basically does exactly the same behavior. It's just paid.
Now, the reason they suspect this is Morgan Stanley has a lot of videos. They're constantly churning out this, you know, crap. And most of them have less than 100 views. Less than 100. Think about that. They have, how many subscribers do they have? Like 5,000 subscribers? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this video pops up with 160,000 views in one day.
It went viral, obviously.
4 likes and 2 comments.
Yeah. So a limitation of the whole pre-roll ad thing is that Google doesn't expect you to interact with the, like, you can't, if you like it or you do other stuff with the video, it doesn't, it counts on the video that you're watching the ad of, not the ad itself. And so that makes perfect sense. And there's no opportunity to comment because it's an ad, but you're literally running this ad URL or this video URL as an ad on another video. So I'm not sure that anything nefarious really happened here. This is just how it works in Google land.
Well, it's nefarious. I was wrong. I said 160. It's 627,000.
Well, that was the end of like day 2. It immediately got a ton of views.
But if you're Google, you were building that functionality, you know, there had to be a question like that. You know, the engineer called up and is like, hey, are we going to count views on this video? And somebody was like, yes, we are.
Pretty sure the monetization just went away on this video. So if you would like to see more podcasts like this, you really should subscribe on the Patreon.
And also, if you have...
Or get a t-shirt. We got a lovely line of products.
If you have a terrible, terrible problem with recognizing the value of money, or you have too much money, or, you know, just some sort of horrible mental problem, you can Patreon for $19 and get the Level 1 podcast, which you just posted episode 2 of.
And it's not about technology. So we're doing it's terrible, but apparently people like it. So I guess that's good.
Yeah, maybe. You could also contact an existing $19 patron and arrange something with them if you want. We don't make any rules about how they distribute it.
We're going to come to regret that, I'm sure. Somebody's going to be like, all right, here's the link for everybody. Good luck.
Hey, I killed a guy.
Facebook wants everybody to know that they are not out of the VR game. They really think VR is going to take off anytime now. They think price is probably what the problem is. So, yeah, $200 for an Oculus Go standalone VR headset.
Yeah, standalone meaning you don't plug this into a computer. It is a console. It's the console of the VR world. What's the name of the phone one where you just drop the phone in the...
There's a couple of different ones. Samsung's got one.
I think it's the Samsung one. This is almost exactly the same performance level of that Samsung phone, but for $200. And those phones are like start at $600, I think.
This might be a lost leader. Maybe we should assimilate the technology. Now, the one place where I saw VR and it was like, yes, I need this, is doing a fake large display. And I want that on airplane rides. When I got across the pond and it's one of those really long airplane rides. I need like two virtual 40-inch displays so I can get some stuff done.
Now, they are coming out with the Oculus V2, the regular version, and it's going to be kind of souped up, and they're also working on a wireless version of that, which you got to wonder about battery power there. Like, do you want to stop in the middle of your VR porn session and recharge your headset? I don't know. Maybe it'll be like USB and it'll run off USB. That might be okay. But
it is kind of exciting that there may be a lightweight VR alternative. I honestly thought that Intel's like 50 gigahertz or 60 gigahertz wireless technology, which is really high speed and low latency, would creep its way into a VR headset that was literally just a battery, a screen, and a receiver, so you could have the computational horsepower elsewhere, so that the headgear would be really, really light. And I swear, I think I saw that at Computex, but I haven't seen a commercial video, or like a commercial product of that anywhere. And I'm wondering, like, why isn't that a thing? That should be the thing.
They also are working on, not for this thing, but for the eventual version 2 of the Oculus, new controllers with better, you know, hand tracking, and they look really space age. So yeah, they are definitely still investing in the VR world.
I'm not sure I trust a surgeon wearing a VR headset to do the surgery robotically, remotely. That would just, I don't want to go there.
Yeah. What if the battery runs out?
While it's in the middle. It's like, yeah. Okay, now we just carefully make... Oh, my battery has died. Shouldn't have downloaded Snapchat on my VR goggles.
I checked my credit report earlier today, and I got some malware.
Malware on my goggles. Oh, no, my battery's dead because it's been mining Bitcoin. You know what would be great at mining Bitcoin? Not really, because it's not designed for that. But NVIDIA, yeah, 320 trillion operations per second for level 5 autonomous cars. If you're not hip to the vernacular, if you're not hip to the lingo, level 5 autonomy is no pedals, no brakes, no wheel. No wheel, literally nothing. You just get in the car. It's like, "Hey Bob, how's it going?" And it's like, "My name's not Bob, it's Johnny Cab. How many times do I have to tell you where are you going?"
I think a touchscreen and voice. I'd say most of them are going to go for voice.
Yeah.
So yeah, it turns out NVIDIA is actually, not only is NVIDIA mining Ethereum and running your favorite games, it's driving around self-driving cars and because it's fast. And you need to, when you're driving a car at 60 miles an hour and it needs to react when 5 pixels change on the screen, on the camera, you need fast. So NVIDIA has released this computer that is the first of its kind for level 5 autonomy. Now, we should have put the DMV story before this one. That was an oversight. But that's going to be very important later. We'll call back to this.
I spent probably 5 or 10 minutes trying to come up with like a Johnny 5 is alive, you know, Tesla, or not Tesla, but NVIDIA 5 is alive, level 5 autonomy. I don't know. This thing's about the size of a license plate, not counting the heat sink. If you include the heat sink, it's about the size of a Buick. But yeah, it's really, really powerful. And it's the GPU tech that this is based on is not going to be available until late 2018 at the earliest. These are not going to be in production until late 2018. So
the other thing,
kind of nuts.
It's also low power. And it turns out that's huge, because when you think about self-driving cars, like the Tesla, for example, imagine if you had a bunch of video cards plugged into your Tesla, sucking power, you know, mining Ethereum. That would reduce your travel time. You know, it's a non-trivial effect on the battery. So they're trying to get these things super fast, but also low power.
I've got, you know, 60 1080 Ti's doing graphics work and mining Ethereum. It's like, why did your car go off the road? I was mining Ethereum. Oh, pure VPN. Now, this should not be a surprise to anybody, but this is more of a PSA. Pure VPN worked with the FBI to nail an alleged cyberstalker. The most surprising thing about this story is that it was cyberstalker and not terrorist.
Yeah. The important thing is, now we're going to get out ahead of the naysayers here. We're not saying it's wrong that PureVPN helped find a cyberstalker. This guy was clearly dangerous. He was threatening, I think he had like a housemate that was a girl. Yeah. And she decided to move out because he was getting weird. And then he really got weird and started like, you know, attacking her and stuff.
Her instincts were right. She survived.
Right. Now, but he was a computer science student, so he was smart enough to use Tor and multiple VPNs. He was daisy chaining VPNs together to hide his tracks while he was logging into her Gmail and things like that. Well, one of the ways that they caught him is they went to PureVPN and they were like, "Hey, what do you have on this guy? And they were like, oh, let's check the logs. Now, the problem is, if you look at PureVPN's advertising, they say there are no logs of any kind. But when the FBI showed up, there were logs.
And this is should not be a surprise to anybody. You basically, like, this is true of probably every VPN provider that exists. You cannot use a VPN to skirt the law. You can use a VPN to enhance your privacy, which is going to be really important to another story that we're going to call back to in a minute. But you can't use a VPN to break the law. That's not what they're really designed for. So this is kind of a warning, kind of a PSA. I don't know why anybody would think using a VPN would make it okay to break the law.
But you can understand how they would think using a VPN would not leave any trace, because they say you will not leave any trace when you use this product. Now, if you look at their,
there's always a trace.
You look at their terms of service, they betray that and say we do. They log the amount of bandwidth that you use and when you connect and disconnect. So they keep your original IP, which ultimately defeats the purpose of the VPN.
Well, some of the purpose of the VPN, depending on what your goals are.
If you're downloading a Taylor Swift MP3 and we get to the point where the law is given the ability to go after that with the same resources, then you've done nothing.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Well, speaking of the dark web and all the stuff that's going on there, Carbon Black has this really cool article. Yeah, ransomware economy is growing at an annual rate of 2,500%. So yeah, you just sign up for your dark web account, because that's how that works. And put in your credit card. And then you can download some of your malware.
You buy that with Bitcoin. Come on. I don't think they accept credit cards. So a lot.
They do. You just need a lot of them.
Somebody else's credit card. Yeah. We've done stories about how it's like Russian hackers and North Korean hackers and all these prolific malware writers, right? Well, no, not really. This stuff is for sale. You can go and buy it. And, you know, they give you some pretty good, I think some of them will even do support. Like, they'll help you get it set up.
Hello, I'm having trouble infecting my target. It's like, okay, what operating system are they using?
So, this stuff is for sale and sales are booming. And 2017 up 2,500%. People have learned that, hey, this works. Ransomware works. Let me go buy a version of it and start attacking people.
Some people have figured out that maybe instead of having ransomware, you should just have a program quietly in the back mining cryptocurrency, because maybe that's easier. Maybe people won't care as much. And sure enough, researchers have found that there are over 500 million PCs that are infected and mining cryptocurrency, but the mining operation is basically trying to stay out of the way of the users that are using it.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily pegging your CPU or your GPU. It's just using a little bit, but in large numbers, that's enough. And of course, it's going to be using some of your network too. That's probably the best way to try to identify is like, oh, why is this connecting to, you know, Ukraine or Russia or North Korea?
it's keeping track of the ledger of coins that have been mined. Oh,
but yeah, not only, you know, malware doing it directly on the computer, websites doing it with JavaScript. Everybody's trying to get in on the coin craze, and a lot of them are trying to do it without your permission.
Well, this story is kind of not related to anything, but kind of fun. So there's a train company and they fired their IT guy and he trashed everything before he left. And yeah, it turns out there's logs of that. You shouldn't do that.
He tried to stop him. So this guy had a shouting match with his supervisor. We're not told why. I would love to know that story. And you get the...
It was about personal hygiene.
Maybe. You get the impression that this guy was sort of like the only guy running the IT department. He was kind of working on his own, just keeping everything running. And they pushed him too far. So they suspended him. And when he came back, he resigned immediately and said he would bring back the laptop and phone and all the things that they'd assigned him in a couple of days. Well, during those couple of days, he reset all the switches, changed all the administrative passwords, pretty much shut everything he could down and reset it, wiped all the devices and turned them back in. He's been convicted of a crime.
Don't do that. I mean, come on. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It's fine. If you're good enough at your job that you could do all of the things that he did, you're not going to have a problem finding a job somewhere else.
Well, but I mean, you know, if you're going to attack the... Now, I did say he was a military veteran. He'd done like 20 years in the military.
Oh, it was clearly the PTSD.
So, well, I don't know if it was just PTSD or coming out of that environment and like maybe a younger man was supervising him, because 20 years in the military, you know, and having to deal with that, all of that, it might have just pushed him over the edge.
Yeah, just PSA, don't do that. That's just silly.
But also be nice to your IT people, because they can make your life very difficult. I think they estimate they lost like $30,000 just trying to put it all back together. Could have been avoided.
And news from the dark web, someone has noticed that someone, we don't know who, is trying to narc
is a good way of putting it.
They're trying to take the dark web trade for drugs offline. So in case you don't know, there's basically eBay for drugs. You can go and, you know, that's been on the dark web since time immemorial. It takes a different form and it's hosted in different places and the graphics are slightly different. But basically that's been happening since time immemorial. Well, some people have noticed that these sites are popping up and disappearing kind of rapidly these days. So maybe actually somebody's doing, making some progress in getting rid of these.
Now, of course, you've probably heard of the Silk Road. What year did they take that down?
It's like 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. It's been a while.
So the Silk Road was the big one. You know, that started it. And then they had the Silk Road version 2, which somebody else took up. And the feds just kept taking them down and seizing all the coins and stuff. Do you think they still have those coins?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine.
I think they auctioned them.
They should have held on to them. Imagine they would have been like, 1,000% more valuable now?
Yeah, somebody in the comments will now do the research and figure out what they were auctioned for. But they auctioned them. It was like a property auction. But yeah,
it was like $600 or $700 back in those days at most.
Yeah.
So what happens, of course, and I mean any idiot could predict this. When you take one down, two replace it, and it just, you know. So as of today, there are a bunch. I don't know how many there are. But the four big ones, there's like four of the most popular, and all of them are being taken down, DDoS or some kind of, you know, they're being destroyed, which is easier to do on the Tor network because, you know, you don't have a lot of options of, like, you don't have Cloudflare for Tor, and you call up your hosting. It's like, hey, you don't know me, but I bought hosting from you with Bitcoin under a false name. I need some support. So yeah, somebody's taken down all the big sites.
Huh, it's really interesting.
And usually they do like a ransom type thing because, hey, you know, you go after criminals and you ransom them and they can't report it to anybody. But they're saying that they're not getting any demands. They're just getting attacked.
Interesting. If law enforcement has figured this out, kudos. Nice job. Good work.
But hang on to the coins this time.
I have a feeling it's probably just some vigilante though, which is, you know, I don't know. Now, we reported on Google a couple of weeks ago, the Google event and all that kind of stuff. Turns out some of the products have bugs, and one of them is the Google Home Mini, which is the cool little speaker that can figure out, you know, who's talking to it and will respond thusly. It's like it knows your contact list from my contact list, and so when I say call Bob, my Bob is not the same as your Bob. That's pretty cool, if not scary, and required a significant amount of software engineering that went into it. Turns out you could also activate it with a tap, except that this thing thought literally everything was a tap.
Have you ever seen hilarious videos of a fly on a touchscreen? That's kind of what was going on here. It was like, you know, but it didn't even require a fly. It's like a strong, a brisk breeze would turn these things on and they would start listening to everything going on around them. Or like, you know, if you bump the table or whatever, Google starts listening. I don't know how long it waits to see like, oh, that wasn't a command. But yeah, people were, it happened enough that people noticed it and they're like, hey, I'm not really cool with this. So they're disabling that for the time being.
Is it kind of placebo though? Because it doesn't have to listen continuously for okay Google. I mean, I know they say that happens just on the local device, and already, you know, a bunch of people in the audience are like, oh wait, all my Google devices just activated because you said that word that activates all the things.
Right, yeah.
So
that's a good point. This, like, when the tap happens, it's not just the local device listening. They're actually running it back to the servers to try to figure out what you want. So you know, if you're having some really rambunctious sex, Google has like 30-second increment recordings of that for the entire session, probably.
Oh, on that horrifying note, Hyatt, Bruce, Krebs, Brian Krebs, Hyatt has lost all of their credit card data again. This is the second time.
Yeah, we've reported on a lot of different hotels having problems. Actually, remember the rash of hotels that got ransomware all at once?
Yeah.
So that goes back to the whole ransom story. It turns out hotels are great targets for this kind of thing, for stealing credit cards, ransomwaring, whatever, because they basically have to do business with a bunch of people who they don't know, and they can't be like, you're not from here. You're not allowed to do this, because those are exactly the people they service. So yeah, they've been hit again with a card breach.
Turns out people can just show up to the hotel and be like, corporate sent me to install this on your network. The hotel manager's like, yeah, that sounds good. The closet's back here. Good luck.
Yeah, that's I don't know. I don't know what you would, because you have to put a credit card down if you're going to stay in a hotel. Like, there's no paying with Bitcoin, because if you burn the room down, they have to charge something. So I don't know how you even get around this.
Well, Pirate Bay, they experimented with cryptocurrency mining in the browser, and then they turned it off. Well, now it's back, and it's here to stay. It's at least nice. It doesn't peg your CPU completely.
But you can't opt out. Now, Cloudflare has been going after sites that do this. And they
use Cloudflare.
They say that there's no, like, zero tolerance here. If you do it, you are out. And they actually shut a site down. I can't remember. We talked about it last week. I can't remember what the site was. We thought it was the Pirate Bay, but apparently it's not, because
it's still here.
Yeah. But Pirate Bay might be next, because if they use Cloudflare, it is now public knowledge that they're doing this, and we'll see if they get taken down.
It's gonna be interesting. This might be the way of the future for pirate sites and that sort of thing, because
not just pirate sites. I think a lot of sites are experimenting with this now.
Better than ad revenue.
I think it was running in an ad on Pirate Bay. So
it might not even be Pirate Bay.
Yeah, no one's sure if it's the Pirate Bay doing it or if it's just the, you know, whoever's serving that ad, but somebody is using what's the name of that script?
Oh, I can't remember.
Something minor. Anyway, it's Monero, and lots of websites are mining Monero with your CPU. So
maybe this will finally be the thing that we need to spur multi-thread JavaScript, so we can finally have truly multi-threaded JavaScript.
So we can have our CPUs violated more efficiently.
It would at least help with some of the tracking scripts that we've got on the sites that we use for the news, because good Lord, Chrome eats the RAM.
I don't think we want to encourage that.
Another behavior that we don't want to encourage is Microsoft is helpfully, quotation marks, using Cortana to read your private Skype conversation so that Cortana's got some kind of a context for things that you might ask Cortana for.
This is similar to what Google does. You know, like, if someone sends you an email, it's like, hey, do you want to go to the party tomorrow? And that little box appears on the side. It's like, do you want to set a reminder for the party tomorrow? It's that type of thing. But of course, in order to do that, just like Gmail, it has to read all of your communication.
Reading the communication, I don't think that's really the surprise. If it's reporting all of the communication back to another server for analysis.
Yeah, I think because it'll do things like if you mention like a popular movie or TV show or something, it'll be like, hey, do you want to learn more about that?
I don't think that I'm okay with that. I don't know.
I don't think I need Cortana in my life.
So for those of you that own a Subaru, we've got a warning. You can clone your key fob to open a Subaru car with a $5 Raspberry Pi Zero, or $9, I guess it is. It's like $9. They're on sale sometimes at Micro Center for $5, and a wire. And that's all you need.
Yeah, just an antenna. Now, this was, I think it was like a 2002 through 2009, certain models. Modern ones, I don't think, have this problem. The issue is, and you got to wonder if this was just like back in 2002, we were rose-colored glasses, and it was like, this is never going to be an issue. So every time these are basically just little radios, and every time they send a command or communicate with a car, they use a key. And then the key rolls forward based on some algorithm that you're not supposed to know. And so the car and the key both know what the next one would be. So if I have one and you have one, we're not operating with the same key. And that's what lets the cars know that. Well, anyway, the Subaru cars are sequential in the keys. So if you're sniffing the radio signal and it throws that key out there, you know that all you need to do is increment it by one and use that for your replacement device, and it'll work.
Neat. Isn't that fun? That's like, we solved the replay problem, but it's like you can't use exactly the same radio burst a second time. It's like...
I wonder also if that would throw your actual fob out of sync.
Yeah, you'd have to hit the button more than once.
Yeah.
But it's I think the algorithm in the car is greater than or equal to. So it anticipates, like, you know, a brand new car, it anticipates number 7. But if you click the button in your pants while you're like away and your key fob counts up, it's okay if the car hears a greater number. So,
but hopefully on newer cars, you know, it's not iterative. It's moving in some unpredictable fashion based on some algorithm.
Quote unquote.
And I think you would have to extract that in some other way. So it's not all Subarus, but you should check out the link which we'll have in the description to see if yours is effective.
And if you have a Subaru, definitely use our affiliate link to order your Raspberry Pi Zero and let us know how your experiment turns out.
Yeah. I think we know somebody who has a Subaru. We might try to figure out if it's one of these because it would be fun to play with. We have a Raspberry Pi Zero.
Yes.
And we could probably fashion an antenna at no cost.
Well, the California DMV has made the changes necessary for autonomous driving cars and also companies to experiment with autonomous driving cars as long as they register and follow a few really simple rules.
Now, this is back when we were talking about the NVIDIA thing. This is level 5. This is nobody in the car. The little NVIDIA chips making all the decisions, doing all the driving. And it was predicted we would not hit level 5 in 2017. No way.
I think we predicted that was coming sooner than everybody thought. So once again, one for us, zero for all you doubters or whatever.
Now, the federal organization actually has precedence here. Like they could come through and be like, no, California, you will not have level 5. But I kind of doubt they will.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably let this go because everybody is so excited about, you know, full self-driving cars.
Can you imagine a world where it's like the feds versus states for not just for autonomous driving cars, but also the whole marijuana thing? And it's like, what are we fighting for today? It's like, well, weed and also self-driving cars. And it's like, one of these things, not like the other.
Remember, they passed that bill that you can't deliver weed via self-driving car.
Yeah.
So somebody already predicted this.
What if the weed is happening inside the car? Like you're not driving, you're not under the influence. I mean, you're technically a passenger.
No, there was so somebody is challenging the DUI laws for the person because the law states if you are in the driver's seat, car doesn't have to be on. You don't have to be operating it. If you are sitting in that seat and you are drunk, you are DUI. So they're like, well, listen, driverless cars, like. There's no way you can influence the... I mean, I guess you could tell it to go somewhere stupid, but it won't like plow into a pedestrian on your command. So that's a pretty good argument. You know, should DUI even matter?
How can we get the open source software? I need to compile my own version of this. It's like hipster detected at 3 o'clock accelerating. Well, if we haven't lost our monetization, we soon will. So, yeah, go sign up for the Patreon thing. Pornhub is using computer vision and artificial intelligence to automatically identify actors and acts and tag and categorize all of the stuff that's on their website because it's just too much work to have a human being do.
There's too much porn. Too much porn to tag. This is hilarious because, who was this, TechCrunch? They were desperately trying to write this article without going into any detail, but it's like the really like amazing part about this software is that it knows a blowjob from a hand job, you know, let's just say it. And that's incredible, right? Like it's artificial intelligence that can watch porn and tell you what's happening on the screen. But TechCrunch, like they couldn't go into those terms. So it's like, we won't go into too much detail, but it's really impressive. Trust us.
I feel like that this is exactly the kind of thing that Douglas Adams had in mind when he imagined the world would be demolished to build a highway.
But yeah, they've only rolled it out on like featured videos. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I guess the most popular ones. But pretty soon they're saying by sometime in 2018, they will have cataloged the entire porn catalog or tagged the entire porn catalog by AI.
It sounds like that, you know, just as soon as we could get 3 or 4 of those NVIDIA level 5 whatevers to actually power this artificial intelligence, I mean, it's going to be... how long before you have your own AI personal assistant where you can tell it what all of your lecherous preferences are and then it'll just go and, you know, find all the stuff based on that?
How about, what was the name of the Amazon thing that's got the camera on it that sits by your bedside?
Alexa?
But it's like the Alexa something. Or the Google. And so, like, not only are they going to watch you have sex, but they are going to tag for the NSA what those sex acts are.
Oh, it's going to be the creepiest version of the Her movie. Like, you're going to lay down, and it's going to be like, you know what to do to your personal assistant. Just,
your bedside AI is going to post to Facebook what your sexual preferences are.
How crazy is it going to be when, like, your AIs get together, like, you and somebody else, and it's like, really? They're into that? Well, okay.
Yeah, because, like, listen, I really trust you. I think this is really going somewhere. why don't we open up our AIs to one another? You know, this is what we really like.
It's that was really popular in Japan. There was a mobile app that everybody could get, and you set your preferences in the mobile app, and then when you were close to somebody else that the app decided was a match, it would ping you both, and if you both said, and it would show you, and then it's like, if it's okay, then you both would, you know, it would find out who it was or whatever. So
it's like, hey, you're within 50 feet of four other people that like bondage gear.
I was thinking furries, but yeah. I mean. Moving right along. So yeah, going from that to flesh-cutting robots. I mean, that's not, I guess that's not really a pattern.
Well,
I
that's
mean,
a robot, right? Yeah. This is the robot section.
So this is, it turns out robot surgeries are actually really hard. It's not enough that the robot has to move precisely. It turns out that the stuff that you're doing surgery on does not respond consistently. Like a surgeon has to react when they're cutting through stuff because the skin might bunch up or you might hit a piece of muscle or a vein or something.
Yeah, well, you're going from like tendon to muscle to skin to fat, and it's actually really hard apparently.
You can't move a motor can't move precisely and get exactly the same result every time because it's an analog medium. So there's a little clip here of them operating on like a valve or something that's suspended. Yeah, this is completely nuts. So there's the computer vision system is reacting to the movement of the place where it's operating, and the software is sophisticated enough to still continue to make the right incisions and sew everything together and that kind of thing. One of the trickiest surgeries you can do is if something bad happens in your intestines and they have to cut out a section of intestine, and sewing it back together so that you don't have leaks and that kind of thing, that is a really tricky, you have to have a tremendously skilled surgeon to pull that off correctly. And they are doing that now with a pig intestines in this robot, which is just mind-blowing.
They use pigs for everything. The thing you saw before with those parallel lines being cut, that's all pig. So they just went to the butcher and they were like, give us all the parts of a pig. And they did this on, you know, like the shoulder and the stomach and all the different various things. And the robot outperformed the humans in every kind of thing.
So the next step is going to be approval for use in surgery type situations. So.
Now, we talked about the Chinese dental surgeon.
Oh, yeah.
Which the Chinese, you know, they have a little bit more lax regulations. They're like, yep, put it to work. And it did it right. It's doing good. It's 3D printing teeth and popping them in, and people are happy.
If it doesn't do a good job, we're going to send it to work for Pornhub. Or maybe it could grow a head of lettuce. So yeah, so we covered the basically automated lettuce stuff before because lettuce, it turns out, takes a lot of water and hydroponics, and it'd be really great.
Well, that was Japanese, right?
Yeah. This is a little different. But the story here is that this is multiple robots working together for the care and feeding of lettuce, which takes about 6 weeks to go from seed to ready to eat.
Now, one of the big things with growing things is, of course, like how much room does it take, right? If you're just growing lettuce in the ground, it takes a lot of room and a lot of water. What these guys are doing is, and I think this is different than the Japanese one. The Japanese one used like big, the robot was like mounted on Costco type shelves that just went like, you know, way up in the sky and it would travel around. Well, these guys are using little individual trays that float. So you've got your little lettuce float tray. You plant your lettuce on it. It's probably like some rock wool or something that's using to, you know, germinate. And then it just floats around in this nutrient water. And the robots come and collect them and care for them in various ways. So you got one robot that comes and gets it and takes it to the other robot that takes photos of it to see if it's doing well and, you know, plucks the pests off of it and things like that. And so these robots just take care of these little floating lettuces and eventually harvest and deliver them.
It's an exciting time that we live in.
You know, you mentioned earlier about growing the weed on the truck. Well, it turns out there's a close competitor to these guys that's the idea. Like, we're going to have this system in shipping containers. So it's like, while it's on the boat, it's growing lettuce. What? I don't know how they get sunlight into that equation. Maybe they use grow lights. And then you get it, you put it on the truck, still growing the lettuce. And by the time you get there, it's just ready. So you have the freshest lettuce you can imagine.
That would be great. I would love that for fruit. Not lettuce. I mean, lettuce doesn't really
matter. Do mention like corn. They can't do corn like this because it's too big and difficult.
I think technically corn you have to harvest early because corn wants to convert its sugar to starch, which is not tasty.
But you wouldn't have to in this situation because the other thing about this is they're growing it in like some little downtown one square acre room. And it's, I think it's literally next to two body shops, you know, so it's not a farm necessarily. And they could deliver it across the street. Like, you could put one of these next to a Whole Foods.
You say that, and the preppers in the audience heard, oh, I can live in the city now because I could grow my old food in the husk of the building that I live in when the apocalypse comes.
Yeah, but then you have to deal with, you know, raiders and cannibals. Any good prepper knows you don't want to be in a city.
Now, I think that, you know, artificial intelligence will have its day, but there is untapped intelligence out there that we could take advantage of right now, and I think it's in crows.
This is my favorite story this week. I love this story.
Crows. Yeah, so crows, they're pretty smart. You can train them to
very
do stuff.
Very smart, yeah.
Turns out this guy's like, wait, why don't we train some crows to retrieve cigarette butts and reward them by giving them food? And if you train enough crows, those crows will train other crows, and pretty soon you've got an army of crows retrieving cigarette butts for food. It's kind of brilliant, and it works.
Well, it works. They haven't actually built this yet. They're building it based on another guy, the actual guy that we should get credit for this. These guys figured out how to commercialize it, but this guy figured out he trained crows to collect coins and trade. So whatever coin or shiny object that a crow would provide to his machine, he would give them a peanut. And that's what they've designed this thing to do. So every cigarette butt would be one peanut. So you'd have an army of crows picking up cigarette butts, depositing them, getting a peanut.
I'm not sure that this is what they had in mind when they did that movie, The Crow.
Now, here's, well, maybe more in line with the movie The Crow. Here's my question. How long before, so there's lots of crows, right? I mean, the crows aren't like an endangered species or anything. How long, when they run out of cigarette butts, right? How long till they just start grabbing them out of people's mouths and like clawing your eyes and stealing your cigarette and taking it, turning it in for a peanut, you know, like the blood still on its beak. And that might be a lawsuit.
I think that I've seen this happen already, and it was not with crows, it was with squirrels. So squirrels will happily steal your food in the park and that kind of thing. They're brazen. I haven't seen a squirrel steal an eyeball yet, though. I'm sure it will happen.
Well, they're not going to take the eyeball. They're just perching on your face to get your still-burning cigarette to trade in for the... And what about... What if a squirrel... You think they could identify them by smell? Because what if they got into a convenience store and stole a pack of cigarettes? And it's like, oh, my God. 20 peanuts?
Well, you'd have to fine-tune that algorithm that is analyzing the thing to be sure that it is indeed a cigarette butt.
But that is that's amazing. I hope that we can do this.
I do
too. I hope the crow. I would love to see crows just, you know, cleaning things. That would be great.
I hope one day that we have enough time to work on that, because I would love nothing more than to have a trained army of crows,
yeah,
retrieving whatever it is from all around.
What else could we collect? Because the guided coins, that's pretty smart. I don't know what else you would get, maybe.
Are there any fish that are as intelligent? Oh, I've got it. No, we're not going to train crows. We're going to train octopus to search for shipwrecks and gold.
Gold's really heavy, though. So I don't know how much gold an octopus could carry.
Could carry a gold coin.
Coin, maybe. Ingot, I think, would be a challenge for, yeah, it.
It's not a question of where it grips it. It's a question of weight ratios.
But yeah, if we could have a, you know, a little what, rookery, is that what you call the crow thing? The level one rookery, that'd be amazing.
Speaking of level one rookeries, Microsoft might be ahead of us on that one, because they built treehouse workspaces for the employees. The pictures of these are insane. You guys have to check out this article, because, like, yeah, I think this would be fun for about a week. And then after that, it's like, treehouse.
I wonder if they're air conditioned, though.
No.
I don't want to be chilling out in a treehouse. Well, I might. Well, they're in Washington, though, right?
Yeah. So it's probably, not really hot.
But in the winter, it'd be cold.
The winter, it's not. Actually, it's kind of funny. After Bill Gates retired, I was on the Microsoft campus a couple of years ago, and they were going to modernize the campus, because it's mostly two-story buildings. And it doesn't really look very modern from the outside, because they were worried about the fire brigade. That doesn't matter. But there was a lake and some trees, and it's a really, really nice campus. And they were going to modernize it. And this was after Bill Gates retired. And he's like, yeah, we're going to modernize the campus. And he's like, you're going to do what? He's like, yeah, we're going to, you know, pave it and make it easier to do stuff. And he's like, no, we're not. We're not doing that. We're not. And he technically didn't have any control over it, but he was very anti- make it not really nice. Now, this looks really awesome. Like, I think that he would probably like this, But I question what's going to happen in like 5 or 6 years when like the wood has sort of been a little weather worn and things are a little bit more derelict looking. Might be depressing.
You think there might be some workers' comp splinter cases here? Now, to call this a treehouse, you got to go and look at the pictures because
it's
would be a house that most of us would like to have. You know, throw in a little insulation and heating and cooling, and you'd be delighted to live here. It also has because obviously Microsoft, you have to have power, right? So all the electrical sockets are like cleverly hidden, which is a nice touch. It's like, oh, we're one with nature. Plug in the router.
I mean, look at this. It is a different Microsoft because I'm thinking back to like, you know, like there was one building at Microsoft that had Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, and that like they basically shared a building or shared the second floor of a building. And I'm trying to imagine like Steve Ballmer, like the developer's Steve Ballmer in this kind of a setting, or like the Steve Ballmer that hurled a chair whenever he found out that somebody was hired to go to Google. And I can't do it. I think it's not the Microsoft that it once was.
Well, remember the when they decided to go all open offices there?
Oh yeah. Well, it's not really that way. At least it wasn't when I was there.
Well, no, that was after that.
Yeah, there were more.
Well, some of them resisted it. I think like the firmware team were like, no,
yeah,
we're not doing that. But can you imagine? It's like, hey, you know, Bob from the firmware team, we're doing a treehouse week. So if you could just pack up all of your 6 computers and bring them over to the treehouse, that would be great. Yeah.
What was happening there was middle managers were like, you know, the Skype team, we're packing like 6 people to a cube with the Skype team because they were, you know, they came over. It's like, how can we get everybody on board to pack 6 people to a cube? Because that's what people really want, is 6 people to a cube. And everybody was like, just because the Skype team was willing to do that doesn't mean we're willing to do that. So,
but hey, it's a very cool, I would hang out here for, I don't think I would work there.
Yeah.
I would like want to go there afterwards too. Chill out and watch the squirrels.
It's like, oh, you want me to use my laptop to do work in this? Right. No, I would answer emails. And like for the, you know, I would totally not mind to answer the same question for the 12th time via email from one of those places. That would be a much better place than say like inside of my office.
Maybe a conference call.
Yeah, a conference call would be okay.
Natural calming effect to be out in nature so you don't get angry.
We need you to patch the Linux kernel without rebooting. Not going to do that from there. I'm going to have to do that for my desk. Going to need a little bit more screen real estate than that.
But it's cool. So yeah, if you want to work at Microsoft, you might enjoy that.
Yeah, it's definitely a different Microsoft than it once was. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I'm not sure.
I don't think they're doing so well. So yeah, maybe not good for the bottom line. We'll see.
Oh, policing of the future involves citizen detectives and a Pokemon Go-like app. What could possibly go wrong? Well,
this article, you know, like immediately when I read the headline, the first thing that came to my mind, and to the, who is this? CSO Online? I'll give them credit. They made the Stasi connection almost immediately. It's like, oh, this is a little weird. What, is this also Dutch? Yes, Dutch. Another Dutch story. So it's like, hey, we've got stolen cars and we know what their license plate is. So why don't you take your Pokemon Go app and scan a bunch of license plates and we'll give you virtual points for every, and if you catch one, oh boy, that's a lot of points. And it's like, oh, that's a little bit of a privacy invasion, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of scary.
And they also have, somehow they're going to work missing persons in here. And if you track down a missing person, wow, that's a lot of Pokeballs.
A missing person for Pokeballs.
Now they, of course, the comparison they made were the Stasi. If you're not, you should Wikipedia that if you don't know about them. But they were.
You're watching this program. You don't know about the Stasi. Welcome to our world.
They were not military people. They were just civilians. But when this system was set up, that was like, hey, spy on your friends, and you'll get these fake, you know, nationalism points. They really got into it. And this is probably more of a mental manipulation than that was.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
I can't wait for this to misidentify somebody. And it's like, you know, innocent bystander killed in row over mobile app.
It's like, oh my God, you've been kidnapped. It's like, no, I'm not kidnapped. I'm grocery shopping. And it's like, no, you come with me now.
I beat the guy with my shoe even harder the more that he said he was not the kidnapper. So I knew he was the kidnapper for sure. Like,
every time you bludgeon them, you get the coin sound from Mario. You know, like, bling, bling.
That's where we're headed, folks. I don't know. This is my favorite story this time. I think this is only slightly ahead of the crows, just because it's like,
oh, it is fantastic.
I'm thinking back to like teenage Wendell, who was very awkward. And it's like Dead or Alive is a gaming franchise, and you know, I don't know. I don't know.
A couple of years ago they made headlines because there's a lot of female characters, and they are they're very buxom. And so they added a physics engine just for their jiggly bits.
Well, now this is also an upgrade. So apparently that's always been the draw in this thing.
Yes.
The jiggly bits have been upgraded from not just the front, but also the rear components.
Ah, yes.
I'm struggling very hard to maintain our monetization.
Now, this is not the, that's a fighting franchise. Yeah. It's a fighting game franchise, but they have branched off. And there's like, I don't know if this is just the beach. They had a beach volleyball game.
Yeah.
And that gave them an excuse to put them in bikinis, obviously. And I don't know if this one is just, it's Japanese. You should watch this video. If you don't click any other link from this week's news article, links in the description.
Definitely not from work, though.
Click this one, because they have dropped any pretense that this is a game that has any subject matter other than breasts and maybe a little bit of ass.
And physics.
And how those things move in physics. I think they've even got like this new technology. Like year after year, you know, it's like the Madden games. It's like the game of football has not changed. What changes can we add from year to year to draw people? Well, this year in this one, you have AI generated random generation, procedural generation for the swimsuits.
Wow.
Yeah.
So millions upon millions of possible combinations and permutations. And
But now here's the problem, right? Boob physics eat up GPU. I mean, you know, they really, you have to throw resources at them. So I think a 1050 was the minimum that you could get your boob physics. If you're trying to run this with anything other than a 1050, it's going to downgrade the boob physics.
That literally is the headline.
No other choice. What can you do? Now, you will still get boob physics, but you'll get last generations. And why even bother?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, this is really a first generation, though. I mean, it's not like there has been a physics, like, I know that people probably already composed the comment that, no, this is completely unrealistic. Like, the physics here is terrible.
Yeah.
No disagreement here. It's just that they've upgraded the physics engine. This is like 1.0 of like the next generation of terrible, not even remotely realistic physics.
Yeah, well, I think it makes them more noticeable. There may be more, I guess buoyant is not the word, but
dynamic.
Again, that's a great word. You got to watch this video, because it's like, you know, the girl eating the ice cream cone, and it's like, wow, that's provocative. But then some of it drips down onto her breast. It's like, Jesus Christ. I don't, you know, just based on this, maybe I'm painting with too broad a brush, but I think based on this ad, Japan might not have accepted the social justice trend quite as much as liberal America has.
Oh, man, can you imagine if that catches on over there? This company's going to be finished.
I think this is Tecmo. They are in trouble.
Well, you've wasted an hour and a half for this week. This might be a record setting. It did not feel that long
I know we had a lot of tabs. We did not manage to breach the too many tab Chrome limit, so I thought we were doing good this week. Wow, yeah. So this is bonus.
It's not terrible. It could be worse. It could definitely be worse. We lost about half of you partway through, but maybe the rest of you can tell them how good it was sitting all the way through. So
it's like, I can't remember his name, the guy, the Chicago, one of the Chicago baseball announcers. If they went into extra innings because it was tied, he always referred to that as free baseball. It's free baseball, folks.
Well, this is free level one news, even more freer than free.
Kind of always free.
Yeah.
Double plus free.
Well, we'll see you next time, everybody. This week's going to be a busy week for videos too. Still got a lot of Coffee Lake motherboards, a lot of stuff coming up. There's so many videos. It's going to be good. See ya.